The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of December 2022. Folks, we're going to be in the new year soon. And tonight, back, well, they've called it the shadows now. They've turned the phone booth back there into the shadows, but they're actually the light in the darkness. And that's Eric and Randy, formerly known as the ER, okay? And so in between here and there, right in the cubicle, through the window, at his desk, manning the board, none other than our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And sitting here waiting, just waiting for that moment to say hello is 84-pound Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. She did it. She got it done. All righty. Now, that's 84 pounds of fluff. No, Lisa is the studio marm. She flutters about, but she does a very, very good job getting everything that we need. She always takes good care of us. And there you go. But I think her intention is to make me look fat. But these other people here said that
I could put up with you all day.
Well, yeah. They said that we don't need her to make me look fat, that I do a good job of my own. And I suppose you would probably say the same thing, Joe, about looking old, right?
I not only look old, I feel old, but your highly unpaid professional assistant is here ready to go to work on Pledge Week.
All right, we are ready to go to work. And you know what I'm going to do, what I should have done this week all week? I really feel that we should open in prayer this week for Pledge Week. This is our last night this week because tomorrow is the Christmas program. So I'm going to open in prayer. Let's right now petition our Lord and ask for the folks around the country to pray with me too. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, I would like to first ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to intervene with this horrible, horrible flu. You know, so many in our church have got this, but everywhere all around here, people have this flu. And Lord, we know it's just the flu. We know that, and yet, Lord, the shelves are bare when it comes to medicine especially for the children's medicine here. Now, Lord, some of us we've been blessed. You blessed us. We have natural herbal medicine, and we have a good supply. But for the children out there, Lord, we just especially would ask, Father God, that you would provide. And Lord, especially for all the homeless, as it is getting so cold out there, and they've brought in all of these illegal aliens, and that's just made the homeless problem so much worse, so very much worse, Lord. So again, Father God, we know we would ask, Lord, that you would intervene and find homes for the homeless out here. and these very, very cold winter nights all across, especially for the children and the elderly, Lord. And Father God, too, this is our last night here at Pledge Week for this month, the last night of Pledge Week for the year, for this year. And so, Lord, we would ask, we, in order to just meet the minimum of what we need, just to meet our minimum of what we need to have 10,000 pledged tonight. And so, Lord, if you know who's listening out there, if you could move the hearts of the people to keep us here, and Lord, keep us to where we could continue to bring them what the fake news media will not bring them, the news, the real truth, to bring them the truth. And so all of these things we ask, and Lord, for everyone listening out there tonight, here's my prayer for all of them, Lord, that you would turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things. And for everyone out there listening, that this Christmas, Lord, would be the very best Christmas that they've ever had. And for everyone listening out there, the day would come when they would hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. So, boy, we have a whole lot to cover, Joe. But first I wanted to say, we already have this is Pledge Week, it's the last night. And the phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Last night, the calls that came in after we went off would be Paul in San Diego, 400, Dale in Roseville, 100, Joanne in New York, 200, and Lee in Euclid, 100. And tonight, we have the first one in tonight is Bob and Marie, and they are pledging 200. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so,
yes, indeed. Remind everybody that 281-1110 is the credit card line. If you would use your credit card.
All right, very good. Thank you. Okay. We need to, one other thing I want to get, before we get started in the scripture for tonight is, this was from the Supreme Court Chief Justice John Jay in 1890. He said, "Providence has given our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege an interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. We're pleading with our Supreme Court to please address our corrupted election system before it's too late. Brunson versus Alma S. Adams asked the Supreme Court to hold our members of Congress accountable for their dereliction of duty during the fraudulent elections in 2020. All it takes is two envelopes, stamps, and pieces of paper. Print the attached letter expressing your support to Brunson versus Alma S. Adams and send it to the Supreme Court. And one goes to Loy Rayland Brunson. Do this as soon as possible because the deadline is January 6th. Now, folks, here's how you find the letter. You can pull the letter down. And all this information is here. Go to our website, wrwl.org, wrwl.org. Go to Blog What's News, Blog What's News. Scroll down to Action Required Supreme Court. Select Comments and open the blue ink. The letter is a PDF for you to print two copies and sign and send it to the court and to the Bronson. So again, I'll repeat this, Joe. Go to wrwl.org. That's our website. Go to Blog What's News, blog What's News, scroll down to Action Required Supreme Court, select comments, and open the blue ink. The letter is a PDF for you to print two copies and sign and send it to the court, and one to Brunson's. All right, there you go.
Yeah, give people something to do while they sit inside their house during the blizzard.
Yeah. Well, I always have something to do. We've got to, we really do have a lot to do coming up with Christmas on a Sunday. Let's pick it up where we left off. And, of course, the title was Christmas, Where It All Started and How It Led to the Savior's Birth. And we're going to pick it up tonight in Matthew chapter 2. So, Joe, read verses 1 and 2.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.
Well, now there's a lot of different theories, if you will, and some of them are written like it's fact, but about these wise men, who they are. They're referred to as three kings, too. Now, some say that they were very wealthy, and from Parthia, and that was near the site of Babylon. And they said that some believe that they were actually Jews who remained in Babylon after the exile and knew the Old Testament predictions of the Messiah's coming. Others, Joe, think that they may have been Eastern astrologers who studied ancient manuscripts from around the world because of the Jewish exile. I've read so much in so many different accounts of theories. Exiles centuries earlier, they would have been had copies of the Old Testament in their land. That's true. And so some believe that they had a special message from God directing them to the Messiah. Some scholars, Joe, actually say that these wise men were each from a different land representing the entire world bowing before Jesus. So these men from faraway lands recognized Jesus as the Messiah when most of God's chosen people in Israel did not. And so Matthew pictures Jesus as king over the whole world, not just Judea. Now, here, we know that Herod, what did Herod and Joe Biden have in common, Joe?
Well, they like to kill babies.
Well, that's true. They both like to kill babies, right. But they both were usurpers. They were both
correct.
Usurpers. Herod usurped the throne. He was not, and at that time, remember, most all of the Jews, they hated him because they knew that he was not the rightful king of that heir to that throne of David. He usurped it like Joe Biden usurped the White House. And here, so the last actual legitimate king on the throne was Zedekiah, and the next one, legitimate throne, heir to the throne, will be the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
And he will be the last one. That throne will be forever, won't it?
Forever, which is a very long time.
So now Herod was pretty wicked, wasn't he?
Extremely.
Okay. And so he did not want to even risk in any way, shape, or form having his throne taken away from him, did he?
Right, by a rival ruler or another king, so we got to get rid of any competition.
So Herod had many wives and a lot of sons, and one of his wives had, well, she had notions that one of her sons should take Herod's place. But Herod didn't trust her, so he had his wife and a couple of his sons murdered, killed. He killed them off. But that still left him with three different sons. And so what had happened when he went to He knew that the Romans trusted him. He was for sale. He was like a rhino politician of today. Mm-hmm. And so they trusted him because he was easily bought, but they did not trust his sons, the ones he had that he didn't kill. And so what Herod did, he split his kingdom up into three different portions and placed his sons so he wouldn't lose any of the kingdom. Placed each one of his sons as king. And so go ahead and pick it up there in verse 3 and read verse 3 all the way through verse 6.
All right. One note, Bethlehem in verse 1. So many Christians don't know Bethlehem, the birthplace, means the house of bread. And Jesus is that bread of life. He is that living water. I find it interesting that Jesus was born in a manger, which is a feed trough for animals, and a city called the House of Bread.
And so here, but it went by another name too, the city of David.
David.
Yeah.
Yes, city of David,
mm-hmm.
King David, the birthplace of King David, yes.
All right, so pick it up in verse 3 and read it through all the way through 6.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
And so, do you think Herod wanted to go worship this young king?
No, Herod didn't worship. The other thing he worshipped was himself.
So then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men and inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. If they were wise men, they didn't trust Herod, did they?
No, not at all.
So, I mean, today, if Herod was here today in America, he'd be a Democratic politician or president, wouldn't he?
He'd probably, yeah. He's the equivalent of our Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, he's a usurper. Joe Biden loves to kill babies. You couldn't have enough abortion to
and
quench the
lies.
Thirst.
Pardon? Constantly tells lies like Herod did. So, I mean, yeah, the two have a lot in common.
So, I mean, it's the wickedness of our day here, but, you know, like Solomon said, there's nothing new, nothing new.
New under the sun.
And so here, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and it stood where the young child was. Now, we've heard there's so many different explanations. People try to place the different positions of planets and things coming in and try to explain this. Why is that necessary? If God wanted to send a star, if God wanted to move a planet or a star across the universe,
He moves a star or planet across the universe.
He created them and placed them where they're at, right?
Right.
Why would it be such a concern, and why were people so determined in trying to explain how that happened so that maybe it would make it more believable to them?
I guess because of lack of faith, not believing that through God all things are possible, which is what Scripture tells us. So they keep trying to reassure with earthly knowledge, heavenly knowledge that is so far beyond their comprehension. I think that's it, just the weakness that we have to trust our own logic, reasoning, and science to understand things.
Alrighty. Lou in Michigan pledges 350. William in New Jersey pledges 100. Edna in New York pledges 15. And Rocco in Brooklyn pledges 25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty. The phone lines are open at 888-281-1110. That's the line for credit cards. And or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Oh, Joe, you know, I forgot to mention, I wanted to do this very quickly, and that is we have that the new CDs. We have the new CDs, and boy, believe me, people love them. They absolutely love them. And we took off that one song that was so bad that it was scary. We took that out on the new CDs. And so it's Faith Worth Fighting For. Faith Worth Fighting For. And folks, it's a really good one. And any pledge of $25 or more. But you have to tell us, yes, I want that. Yes, I want that. And I do want to say, too, out of all the things that we've given out over the years, next to God's Word, the Bible itself, Joe, I think that the little Bible answer book, we call the Red Book, that little Bible answer book is one of the probably best, most useful ones that we've given out. Pastors love that book. And for lay people, how it makes finding scripture so much easier. And so we have that too. So you can get a donation of $50 or more. We ask for both if you'd want both of those. Or $25 for if you want. Now, if you're absolutely destitute and you can't afford either one, but let us know and maybe we'll see if we can help you out there and get you one without cost. We've done a lot of those, and we've done more than we can afford to do, in fact. But anyhow, folks, it's important. We want you to have that. And by the way, one more thing. Don't forget to ask for our newsletter. Don't forget to ask for our newsletter. That newsletter is so informative. And so there you go. Let's get back to where we left off.
Sure, do what I do, folks. If you get the newsletter, I've got a copy machine. I make off a lot of copies. I hand them out to people at church. I hand them out to friends and family. And then I ask them to do the same thing I did, take and make copies. Most people have a copy machine or access to one. And it spreads, it gets maybe 20 times the knowledge out there at no cost at all to the, you know, ministry.
Alrighty. Let's get back to this scripture because we're running up against the clock.
Yeah.
And
the big thing here with the notice that said it went before them where the young child was a totally different word from the baby in the manger. We now have a child, which would put about the word would be equivalent to a toddler, and over the house, right?
Well, you're right, because the nativity scenes that we have everywhere out there today, they're the only ones you can really get. They don't have it right, do they?
No.
They still have, they have the three wise men, and they have the baby, newborn baby, in the manger. When you're right, the child was at least 2 years old by this time, at least 2 years old, and also living in a house. So it's not the nativity scenes that they have out there are not really very realistic, are they?
Well, what too many Bibles, and I've seen this many places, they talk about, well, this indicates that the family had moved out of the stable into a rented house in Bethlehem. No, they didn't stay there 2 years after they went to, you know, sign the roll and pay the taxes. They had the baby. They turned around and came home. I mean, this is what the Bible says. They went back to their home. And so they came to their house, and it was a child. I mean, it's quite clear. God doesn't make it that hard, does he? I mean, he makes us study his word, but he makes it quite clear. If we look at the words, we're supposed to what? Word by word, line by line, precept by precept. And if we study according to what he tells us, it's quite clear where they did. They went home to their, they went back to their home.
All righty. I'm going to jump ahead very quickly here now, and because we're against the clock. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and the mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and there was and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which they had diligently inquired of these wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, the lamentations and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Well, that's because that's where Rachel was from, was in Bethlehem area, and she had a lot of descendants there in Bethlehem. And we're going to stop right there. We're going to a break, and we'll be back right after this.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children they listen to his sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright.
Boy, Joe, you know what? That's kind of a bad joke to be playing here in Ohio at this time. You got your white Christmas, and what's heading our way is not what people want.
It's not exactly the gentle falling snow that you see on Hallmark movies. This is a blizzard where you can't see out from me. I can't even see the barn outside, and it's a big barn. So it's not the same as the gentle snowfall and pretty, you know.
Yeah, that was terrible. Craig and the new guy did that. There you go.
Blame him. Blame the new guy.
All righty. There you go. All right. Let me see how he...
Hey, can I add something real quick to
sure.
the Bible study? I find that God does everything in a marvelous way. Here, the baby Jesus gets the three more most valuable gifts in the known world, and right after receiving the gifts, his father, of course, has them. He's too little. He's got to run to Egypt. Well, oh, man, that's going to take money. What did the wise men just drop off? Gold, frankincense, myrrh, three of the most valuable things. Hey, Joseph now has the means to take his family to Egypt to be able to make the trip, pay for the costs, and keep his family safe. You know, it's another one of those blessings we don't normally hear talked about at Christmas.
That's right, because those things were used for kings, huh?
Yeah, for kings. Well, there was a king, and the king had to go to Egypt.
That's right, that they were given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
All right, very good. All right, we want to say Susan in, well, Susan in New York pledged 60, and Sarah in Michigan pledged 10. And thank you, thank you. All righty, we We've got some lightning rounds, so I'm going to let you start off tonight, Joe. Go ahead.
Do you remember a man named Seth Rich, Pastor?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do. Seth Rich, he found out that, hey, wait a minute, what he belonged to, that Democratic Party, was kind of really corrupt, and he thought it was he needs to be to blow the whistle and straighten some things out, didn't he?
Well, that's what we told people. What they found out, the FBI has been holding Seth Rich's computer.
We knew that. We knew that.
His computer. We told this when this happened. Seth Rich was a DNC employee, and he was murdered going to his home. And they called it a robbery, except they didn't take his jewelry, his wallet, his phone. He had expensive, he had money in his pocket, expensive jewelry. And he was the one that WikiLeaks said was the one who took the information from the DNC that WikiLeaks put out. And, you know, but everybody said, oh, no, that couldn't be true. But we think Julian Assange was telling the truth. And now we're finding out that the FBI has had those computers and sitting on them, kind of like Hunter Biden's laptop computer. Oh, that they didn't look at, you know, for the whole year or 2 years. They didn't look in to see if it was real or not. So they're sitting there also with Seth Rich's laptops. And I imagine there is a huge story to tell if we can ever force the FBI to turn over those computers and see what's on those. It's going to be another breaking story like the Hunter Biden story. And again, we have our corrupt FBI that's been betraying America, being treasonous to the nation.
What about this?
Rapid.
What about this? Do you remember in January 6th of 2021, well, where the false flag operation went down, okay, what they called the insurrection? Well, it was a coup. It was a coup is what it was. But we on January 7th, the next day, we told you that Nancy Pelosi, Chucky Schumer, and Biden and that were behind this. Oh, and Hillary, we mentioned that too. They were behind this, but
orchestrated with FBI agents out there and FBI stooges encouraging the crowd that turned up to protest to go ahead, go inside, get inside. These were instigators, and there were more, I think, FBI agents and stooges than there were, you know, any leaders of the march. And then the big story out now is there's a new report out from Congress. It's a congressional committee blamed, guess who, for the January 6th riot? They said the fault lies in the lap of one speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
That's exact. She was responsible for the whole thing. She was the one that kept the National Guards from coming in. She could have stopped. She was the one to make sure that thing went down. By the way, Joe,
yeah,
the FBI said they still couldn't have found out who murdered Seth Rich. Here, FBI, if you're listening, ask Hillary. She can tell you. Again, FBI, if you're listening, ask Hillary. She can tell you. There you go.
I don't think because of all those dead bodies in Arkansas that the Clintons had anything to do with that. You know, with, you know, the blood on their hands.
Well, who had a lot to lose where it comes to? Remember what Hillary said? If Trump gets reelected, we're all going to hang.
Hang, right, exactly. And that was her words, hang. We didn't make that up. We didn't put words in her mouth. But this is so interesting as I look through this report that came out. You know, Donald Trump said, hey, I'm authorizing you guys to have the guard. They told the D.C. police to back off, the Capitol Police. They had them on minimal staff. They didn't have any emergency backup team. Here was this huge crowd expected. Normal procedure would be to have extra police on duty, extra security. They actually told them to stand down, not do this, not do that. Everything was set up for this was one big orchestrated disaster.
It was a coup. It was meant to be that way. Look.
Yeah.
Let's just say, for example, you really wanted to know exactly what happened there. Well, they had hundreds and hundreds of cameras all over that.
Right.
Everything was in film, inside the Capitol, outside the Capitol. Now, you don't suppose that the reason that Nancy Pelosi would not allow that, she kept all that, is because she didn't want, when the Capitol Police, under the orders, opened the doors and invited people in, said, come on in here, ushered them in to get this thing done. She didn't want all of that on camera, did she?
No.
So Nancy Pelosi is behind. She has committed high treason. Nancy Pelosi's committed high treason. Remember, this is the woman that sat behind President Trump when he gave the State of the Nation and tore his speech up in defiance of the President of the United States, in defiance of we the people, all of the people that elected him, okay? And this is why I'm telling you this, folks. If we allow them to continue doing this to President Trump and his family, if we allow this completely and totally corrupt, I mean absolutely, completely, totally corrupt, Democratic Communist Party, to do this and get away with President Trump, they've done it to you. All of those people on that January 6th committee belong in that dirty, filthy Washington, D.C. jail where the true patriots, where the people that said, you know what, we're not going to just sit back and let them steal our election. We're not going to let them steal our vote. That's what they did. Those people went and stand up for you, folks. The people out there listening to me tonight, those people that went to D.C., they went there to stand up also to defend your vote. And I'm going to tell you, this is absolutely what is taking place. It's evil. It's wicked. It is treason. It's high treason against God and country. And those people and all of the corrupt and all of those corrupt, dirty D.C. cops and that mayor all belong in that dirty jail where the true patriots were.
And behind it all, the Democratic Party is the one that's doing the takeover of your government. Now, just remember, the president is not in charge of security there at Congress. It's the Speaker of the House, not even the congressional police, not the D.C. police. The Speaker of the House is responsible for the security, and Nancy Pelosi even told the sergeant-at-arms to step down. So this goes in her lap. So here it is, another instance where the government kept information from you, the people, and then lied to you to make the election look bad against Trump. Here's another way that they were helping steal the election, maintain the fraud. We know that the FBI keeping these Mark Rich computers is kind of like the same FBI that hid the Hunter Biden. We know the news report said many people said they would have not voted for Biden if they knew about the laptop, that it was real. One out of six Democrats said they would have never voted for Biden. We had the Zuckerbucks, the $400 million went out to, get the vote schemes in Democratic strongholds. Now we know Nancy Pelosi and the January 6th committee trying to bring false charges where all the constitutional attorneys are saying, no, there's been no proof that Donald Trump led an insurrection. He wanted an insurrection. It was the FBI fomented, took this group of people, turned it into a mob with instigators. Everywhere we turn, Pastor Ernie, you and I were telling people what happened, when it happened, and a year, 2 years later, there's some congressional investigation. They come up with all this information to basically tell the listeners out there what we told them way back when it happened.
All righty.
They should pay us to do this.
I got to go to the phone line, Joe, 888-281-1110. Folks, they're not ringing. They have to. We really have to do it tonight. We really have to do it. This is our last night here, and we've got about 1 hour left. And so 888-281-1110 and or 888-677-9673. We actually need about 9,000. We need to raise about 9,000 yet tonight to make our minimum to make sure we don't go off any other stations. We got to raise at least another 9,000 we need to get pledged in here tonight. So, and we only have, well, until the middle of next month to get all that money in. And so, again, 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. As Joe's continuously telling you, we don't make any money. None of this goes to us. We're all volunteers here. We're doing it for the cause of Christ.
Christ.
To bring this nation back to one nation under God and for our freedom. We're doing it for the freedom. Listen, folks, freedom isn't free. The facts of it is, look, Red China is not your worst enemy. Russia is not your worst enemy. North Korea, right here today, the Democratic Communist Party, they're the ones that want to take away your freedom. They want to take away your property. And I'm going to tell you this. They want to take away the lives of many of you and your children. That's a fact. This is what you see it all around you. And they're going to keep pushing unless you stand up and fight back. And we have always, you know, been out there. We've done, no matter how many times they threaten us to say, you better not talk about that. We've never, in 50 years, never backed down. Not one time. Never compromised. Not one time. We've been out there to bring it, to be the watchman on the wall for you. Now we need you tonight to help us tonight. We need you in a big way. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. All right, where do we leave off? Letitia in Massachusetts with 25 and Rosa in San Diego with 250. Thank you. Joe?
I have some news that's not being covered. You know, they've been trying to, you know, get Trump, the get Trump syndrome, I call it. They need him destroyed. Well, right now, according to two of America's top pollsters, John and Jim McLaughlin, who run McLaughlin Associates, newest poll shows the GOP challenger Ron DeSantis behind Trump. Trump is leading 48% to 23%, and he leads Joe Biden in a 2020 rematch. The poll showed 61% of Republican primary voters want Trump on the ballot again, only 27% saying no. They try to tell you that everybody wants to dump Trump and bring somebody else in.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, those people that want to dump Trump are rhinos. They're rhinos.
The same rhinos that voted for that stupid budget that passed today.
Speaking of that, McConnell hopes passing the death of cracks $1.7 trillion pork barrel. I mean, sticking it to the American people again. There is all that is in that bill is for the liberals. It's all in there. It's more social. It's taking taxpayers' money and giving it away to illegals, non-resident, you know, non-Americans. The bill will prevent country from discovering. This is what he hopes. McConnell hopes that by passing that, going along with the Democrats, that it's going to help prevent the country from discovering his role in the coup against President Trump. We kind of knew that, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did. You know, what's going on, folks? About, I'd say 20, 25 years ago, we didn't have this kind of chaotic mess at the end of the year. Congress would get together and work and fight over the budget. But then they found out that, wait a minute, if the government doesn't pass, if Congress doesn't pass the budget, the government shuts down. Oh, people get laid off. They put chains around the doors to the national parks. The people get all upset, emotional. Oh, people don't want that. So they purposely are waiting. You know, they've figured out, you know, they can delay it till the last possible week, the last possible moment, and then they have a bill like this where it's 4,155 pages. It's Well, the Congressional Budget Office says it's going to be closer to $1.9 trillion, not the $1.7. It's more expensive. And they make it where you've got a couple of days to look at it, Mr. and Ms., you know, Senator Congress Critter. 4,100, almost 4,200 pages. You can't read that thing because so much of it you have to go look at something else. There's over 2,000-something pages that are supplemental information to help you read the thing, so it really makes it about 6,500 pages you have to read to have an idea what's in the darn bill. So they're doing all this on purpose, and they tell everybody, hey, if you want to go home and see your wife and kids and grandkids at Christmas, you better vote yes if you want your family to see you on Christmas. So they're doing all this. This is all a dog and pony show. This is all on purpose so they can flood this thing with pork and pork and pork. And I've got lists of stuff, Pastor Ernie, what they put in. It is horrible what they have put in.
Go ahead and read, because I have one too, but I don't have it right here. Read some of the stuff in there.
Well, the first thing I want to do is tell who the Republicans did this to you. There were Republicans who were at fault, and this wouldn't have happened if they had stood their ground. Now, there are 18 Republicans.
These are rhino Republicans. These are they're Democrats, okay, in Republican suits. That's what they are.
Yeah, and, well, there are also some people that used to be Republicans that are, as they're retiring, there are four of these people that are retiring, and I think I'll read those first. And what they're doing, they were also the big pork people. And the first one is Senator Richard Shelby, top Republican on the Appropriation Committee.
Rhino.
$666 million, 20 earmarks, one man alone. Oh, he's retiring, so you can't vote him out of office. Then Senator James Inhofe. And, oh, he only sent home $500 million, folks. Then here in Missouri, Roy Blunt, the man ought to be sent to jail, $348 million for pork across Missouri. Then there was Patrick Leahy of Vermont. He came in number four.
Oh, he's a communist.
$212 million. What?
Leahy's a communist. He's not a Republican.
Yeah. No, these are...
I see. You're just giving... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, these are the four senators that, you know, look at the, just those four men at the billions of millions of dollars that they put in and in this horrible, horrible thing. And here's the 18 that voted. We could have just said a short-term bill so that the new Congress could look at it and do this bill right. But no, we had to go along with the Democrats, give them their wish list to buy votes. Basically, this was a buy votes, pay the woke off. Roy Blunt of Missouri, John Bozeman of Arkansas. Write this, if you're in Arkansas, write down John Bozeman right now. He needs to be taken off. He needs to be taken out. Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia.
No, she's always a sellout.
Susan Collins of Maine.
Another sellout.
John Cornyn in Texas.
Yep.
Needs to go. Tom Cotton. Here's a bad one. Tom Cotton in Arkansas. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
These were the very same people.
In the back. Huh?
These were the very, very same people that refused to stand with Trump.
Trump.
That
right.
when you had, you know, 100, right. 100 congressmen with all the evidence in the world right there of the election fraud, the stolen election, standing there saying, here it is, here's the proof, absolute positive proof that this election was stolen. Jim Jordan and Josh Hawley and others, and then those ones that you just mentioned, they were the ones that refused to stand with the Patriots.
And in Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe, Mitch McConnell in Kentucky, he needs to be long gone. Jerry Moran in Kansas, Lisa Mikowski in Alaska. There in Ohio, Rob Portman, he's been on the list. Mitt Romney, Mike Rounds in South Dakota, Richard Shelby in Alabama, but, you know, he's not going to be there, but they got to replace him. John Thune, South Dakota, Roger Wicker in Mississippi, and Todd Young in Indiana. Folks, if any of those people in your state, they need to make sure that you do not let them get reelected, that they should have competition running for that office. Now, one of the big secrets is in this big, huge spending bill, they gave all kinds of money to the military, and the military is spending it on diversity. Yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars in the National Defense Authorization Act to have pilot programs, deepening research with different minority-serving institutions and woke agendas.
Well, you know, I think Austin and Milley plan on having a special unit, special forces of drag queens. Yeah. And the idea is that they drop their drag queens over China and Russia, and they so corrupt the population that they can no longer fight. What they're doing to America, it's unbelievable. Folks, when we're telling you about this, we're not kidding you. We're not kidding you.
Yeah. This thing is laden with all kinds of social justice norms and social engineering. Most of this money didn't go for training defense. It's going into social justice. It's going into brainwashing our trying to use the military to change society.
All righty. We have Anonymous in Massachusetts, 200. Kathy in Florida, 200. And William in Boston, 200. Well, that's an amazing thing. Three in a row. All right, folks, the phone lines are open. We've got to hear from you. 888-281-1110. This is our last night. We've got less than 1 hour left tonight. And, boy, we have a lot. We have a lot to make up. So 888-677-9673. You know what, Joe? You know, I'm not,
One more thing on this topic before we run out of time. Rand Paul stood up. Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky. And he said, remember, this giant spending bill ignores the Senate's own rules that are aimed at making sure new spending is paid for with spending cuts. Wait a minute. They have a rule. They have to do this. But when Ron Paul brought the issue up, the Senate voted 65-31 to waive the Senate's own budget rules. So the senators knew what they were doing. They waived the rule that said you can't do this. They just waived it and said, we're going to ignore our own rules and did it to you anyway.
Here's what they were doing. Once again, betraying the American people. Once again, betraying the people that elected them. Once again, leaving office. They're going to be leaving office rich. Remember what Harry Truman said? Whenever a politician leaves the office rich and wealthy, you can bet he's a crook. You can bet. And boy, I'm going to tell you, Truman, he knew what he was talking about. And folks, that's what they did. But you don't have to put up with it. We're fighting back. We're fighting back. And one of the ways you can fight back is to help keep us here. We're coming up to a break. And we'll be back. Where are we at?
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.